Hello, and welcome to Channels, the Next Flow podcast. You're listening to episode 21, going out on Monday the 28th of August, 2023. And my name is Phil Yules. I'm a lead developer advocate in Sekira Labs in Stockholm. And joining me today, I've got the two guys from my team at Sekira, Marcel and Chris. Do you want to say hello, guys?
Hello, everyone. I'm Marcel. I'm a developer advocate for Latin America and the Caribbean at Sekira Labs. I'm working with Phil and Chris. And great to see you guys here again.
Hi, everyone. My name is Chris, and I'm sitting in Vienna today, and I'm the developer advocate for Asia Pacific, and also do a little bit of work here out of Europe.
So the episode we've got for you guys today is kind of a community team, and we've got a few different items for you. The first one is a bit of a gamble. It's not really ready for us to talk about, and it might all blow up in our faces. So this is take one of the recording. We'll see how many takes we have to do. Hopefully it all work first time. So the title of the podcast is something along the lines of live debugging a Nextflow script. Now, we've had surveys, and of course we're talking to everyone in the community on a regular basis, and it's no secret that one of the biggest kind of complaints about Nextflow is that sometimes the error messages are a bit obscure. And when you hit bugs and problems, it can be quite difficult to do debugging. It gets better the more Nextflow coding you do, but still, we know that there's stuff we can do to improve that that kind of situation for developers building pipelines using Nextflow. We've got a handful of people working on the core Nextflow tool within Sekira, and there's a guy called Jorge who was working with us until recently, and he came not from the scientific bioinformatics world, but he came from the Groovy software development side, and he could work magic with Groovy code that I've never seen. a while ago, as kind of earlier this year, I think, or maybe end of last year, he posted a little video in our internal Sekira Slack of him doing some interactive debugging, first within Nextflow core code, like the library code, but then also within pipelines. So he had a Nextflow pipeline, and he was doing sort of live debugging within his code editor, within IntelliJ. That stuck with me, and I've been quietly niggling people to do it. And Marcel, particularly, I've been saying, Marcel, you should really write a blog post about this and figure out how he did that and try and make it available to the community, because I've never seen anyone else do it. So Marcel, tell us what happened after that. Where have we got to?
So at the beginning, we had to find the work in progress, right? Because it hadn't been merged yet to the Nextflow code base. So we had to find the branch and then keep working on that to make sure it's working and doing some tests. And reading my notes that I took when I first met with him and discussed about these features. But now we have some demo to show, and we can do a few things. It has room to improvements, make it better, but we already can do some very nice things.
So yeah, like we say, flying by the seat of our pants today, because this is not merged into Nextflow. We don't really know what we're doing. So like Paolo, and if he listens to this, and Ben or the other sort of core developers will probably be holding their heads in their hands if they listen and watch to this, but we're having a bit of fun anyway. Right. Okay, we have to confess, we just tried to do the live thing where I tried to do everything from scratch, and we've just spent 15 minutes banging our head against the wall and we can't get it to work, and it was not very interesting to listen to. So we've given up. We're going for plan B, which is Marcel live demos it instead, and he has actually done it before we sat down to record the podcast, and maybe stands a better chance of success. Like we said, this is bleeding edge, this is not yet released or anything, so it will be a slicker experience by the time it reaches everyone else. But go on, Marcel, show us how it's done.
Okay, so I'm in the Nextflow GitHub repository clone that I did in my machine. I check out to the branch where this work is being done. So you can see here just the module file, the main.nf for the gunzip model in the RNA-seq, NFCore RNA-seq pipeline, right? So just the normal module with all the things we expected to have.
Yeah, so for anyone listening, it's just you've got one process in here. So it's just a gunzip process with input, output, script, and everything else.
Yeah. And I'm going to add a breakpoint at the beginning of the script block. I'm going to run the remote debug with this command, right? There's a command from the GitHub repository of Nextflow. They run remote bug for specifically the RNA-seq pipeline. So when I do that, it's going to start listening, but only when I click on the debug button, it's going to debug. I have to configure that, which means I have to add a remote JVM debug to the bug section here.
And also, yeah. Note that you used the dot slash launch there instead of Nextflow, and that's because you're using the compiled version of Nextflow.
Yeah. So you have to ideally use ./Gradle, ending with a W, export class path as one word. This is going to build Nextflow for you. And then from now on, if you want to use this compiled version of Nextflow, you have to use the launch.sh. So in here, I use the ./launch.sh space -remote-debug, run, and then the path from a pipeline with all the parameters and options that I would ideally use. So then I have to click on the bug icon at the top, and in there, it's going to have a button for plus or a new, and you choose remote JVM debug. By doing that, you just have to provide the port, which is appearing here at the bottom, 8010. And then when you save and you click on the bug, it's going to start debugging. So it takes a while, because if you go to the terminal window back, you see it's just like the pipeline is starting as usual. So there's a few things that take a while to do, like checking if there's some cached results and stuff. After a while, it's going to start, and then you're going to be brought to this window where you see it's starting to work.
It's all the internals of Nextflow.
Yeah,
seeing behind the curtain.
Yeah, and you can keep going, and at some point you see the module expecting two inputs, which is meta and archive. So you can start like typing the variables and seeing the content. Here we are not at the point yet, so the result is there's nothing with this name. We can keep going. And at some point, we're going to get it.
So you're clicking a little green arrow there. What does that do?
Yeah, it's a resume program execution. Keeps going.
Okay. So was it paused at a breakpoint you made, though?
Not specific to that breakpoint, but script codes, right? It's script blocks.
Okay.
So at some point you got to this, and you know I can do archive, which is the name here, right, of the input for the Gunzip model, and we have the gfp.fa.jz, right? So here I can even say, you know, what's this process? Because maybe I'm lost. So I can do task process, and that's the name of the process, right? And of course, RDC, prepare genome.
Can you do just task and see all the different keys available in task?
Container, nice. Summon index, all the configuration, right? The config map.
So that's all these the resolved all, config that's been made.
Yeah. And these are all variables, right? So if you do meta, for example, it's a link, it's a list, right? It's a link hash map.
This is a really nice way to just explore the runtime in the middle of a Nextflow run if you're trying to understand why a variable isn't working or whatever.
Exactly. So in the end, there are many things you have to do. Like you can say, for example, yeah, but if I'm running a pipeline, I can just go to the task work directories. I can open the .command.sh and see what's the final version of what's going to be run for that task. Yeah, you can. You can keep like going after thousands of folders and looking for these things. In here, it's just a matter of doing like resume, stopping your breakpoints and checking what's inside. And let's say that, you know, okay, so archive, what's inside, it's that. But actually, I have to change my pipeline because I want to get only the first part. And, well, you know, if you want to go to your script file, change that, run the Nextflow pipeline again, wait until it gets there, and then you're like, oh, actually, that's not what I wanted, or I put the wrong expression. You can just play here with it. So you can do like to string, because it's a path, right? So now you have a string, and then you're going to just split everything by the dot. What am I going to get? Oh, that's what I meant. Okay, but I want the first one, which is the file name. So PFP. Oh, so this works. So now I can go to my script file and know that this expression at this point in the pipeline, it will give me GFP, which is what I want, right? So you can do all these different things. So at some point, you probably know that in the NFCore modules, you can provide arguments to the commands. And in the config file, it's going to go to args or args2. And here, there's no args. So if you do like args like this, it's just empty, right? But in some modules, you may have. So I mean, okay, is the args being set correctly at this point? You can just go here and they will tell you what are the arguments. Here we don't have. But in some other situations for other processes, like the FastQC for Tringalore, at some point it has --quiet, and we would be able to see it here, right? There are many different things you can do with this.
And just to clear it up, so you hit the breakpoint earlier. This is stopping in this place because you clicked that breakpoint on the script block. Or
So yeah, that's the thing. Once you do this breakpoint in the script block, it stops in many different places. If I keep doing the resume program, it doesn't, because the only breakpoint is indeed here, right, in line 23 of this file, but it keeps stopping in multiple different places. Okay. And then you can see like the behavior of the next flow going. You can just keep doing other things, like getting inside, you know, what's really happening, or you can just resume. So here, for example, what task is this one? So task, process. So this one, so by doing test.process, we know that here we are in the prepared genome untar salmon index. And that's nice because, you know, the args2 here, it has a value, which is no same owner. If you go to the folder conf/modules.conf, you're going to see that specifically for process with this name, which is untar and so on, it's going to have this args. We can even open a new here.
So just to clarify, Marcel, even though you put the breakpoint in one module, you can actually still explore other parts of the pipeline at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm finding that kind of confusing.
It is.
I already expected to only stop at the place where we clicked a breakpoint, not like randomly stop all over the place. But maybe someone can explain that.
So processes with name on char is going to provide this argument, no same owner. So sometimes people are not really sure where the config is and so on. But you know, in the debug mode here, just you are and you're going to say that it's no same owner and so on.
Okay.
And you can keep going, you know.
That's for nice. Next
one. And then in the end, it's over. Oops, let me close this. But there was some issue here with, I don't have Docker running. So that's the thing. But this thing about stepping all over the place, it's mostly when you put in a script block. It's not really clear to me. Maybe it's something that Jorge did so that we can debug better the pipeline. I'm not sure. But you can really go all over the place and understand better every step.
Maybe we can do a bit more investigation with the Nextflow team and refine this a bit, and they can come and explain to us why it behaves in the way it does.
This is totally a work in progress, right? It's totally a work in progress. But at the same time, we wanted to give you guys a taste of what we're working on. Like, you can really at some point debug interactively your pipeline and see at every step what's the content of all the variables. You can play with the variables. You can interact with them. You can check the metadata about the task, what's the process name, what's the arguments, what's the container being used. So it's very good to interactively debug your pipeline. Soon we're going to have a blog post on that. So by this time, when the blog post gets released, we're going to have a much more curated content about this feature.
It'll be slick. There's going to be videos. Yeah. You promised me videos.
And yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were chatting about this the other day. I think it was Adam was saying that, you know, he spent like an hour trying to figure out a bug in the pipeline, only to realize it was just because something he thought was a string was actually a list. Like, I mean, how many people developing Nextflow pipelines will resonate with that kind of situation? So being able to just hit breakpoint and just being able to like poke around in that console, in a debug console, and like look at all the different variables, that's like, it seems super powerful to me. And also, many people who are used to like writing code in other languages will be familiar with this as well. You know, I'm like used to using the web console in Chrome to poke around with JavaScript, and obviously there's interactive debugging tools with Python and stuff. So it's nice to try and bring that experience over to writing Nextflow pipelines as well. Right, next one, ambassadors. Chris, tell me about it.
Ambassadors, that's right. So. This has been something we've been talking about for a very, very long time. Probably, you know, eight or nine months now, we've been talking about this idea of an ambassador program. And I think this kind of goes back to the idea that a lot of people in the Nextflow Interval community quite often get in touch with us and ask for things like slides or stickers, or they're running an event and want some advice, which of course we're more than happy to sort of help out with and support as much as we can. But it kind of stimulated this thought that, you know, maybe we should be doing an ambassador program where we kind of have these resources and some active community members out there already kind of equipped to do this stuff as a part of the Nextflow and NF Core communities. So with that idea, we sort of started to develop this idea of an ambassador program. And Marcel has been really leading sort of the thinking and organization of this. So I thought this is a good opportunity to actually ask Marcel some questions and he'll be able to tell us more about what's involved in this Nextflow Ambassador program.
We've not put you on the spot enough yet today, Marcel. So.
Yeah, I think at some point when the community starts to get some traction and size, everyone thinks about community heroes or ambassadors or, you know, someone to help carry the weight of the community and attending events, writing content, doing some coordination, being like raising the flag of the community all over the world in different areas, geographical areas, in some different fields and so on. So this is definitely something that we have at the back of our heads for a very long time. And at some point we decide we should really start working on that and creating a program, not just like, you know, I'm going to give you a title, but having really a program very organized with all the goals we wanted, everything we wanted to track and how we want to do that and so on. So we are about to launch the Ambassador program. We want to have it working during the summit, right? In October, the next summit in Barcelona. And we're going to open soon the application round for the first round of ambassadors. So people will be able to apply. Definitely, we have some people already in the community who behave like community heroes, community ambassadors, people that really know the message and the vision that we want to portray. They do community support. They attend events. They give talks. They get some funding from us and support sometimes, slide decks, stickers, any type of support that we try to help them. And so it's mostly about acknowledging these people and helping other people to do the same thing they feel like.
I feel like ambassador programs, usually, you know, a company or a community will start an ambassador program to try and build a community, to try and stimulate this kind of activity. We're sort of almost doing it in reverse, where some people have been doing this stuff for years already, just, you know, without any sort of official recognition. And so this is really like a bottom-up, like community-driven type program where, you know, people are saying, hey guys, like, you know, we're just trying to put some structure to what's already happening.
Yeah. And we are definitely not looking for someone like brand new who just appeared and want to be an ambassador and we're going to train them. It's not only about that. We really know that a lot of people, they have been doing some amazing work and they need some recognition. So we want to acknowledge all these people who have been working for Nextflow and NF Core, and they have been doing lots of stuff. And we want to if they want to make them ambassadors and keep helping them to do even more. So it's not about forgetting people who helped us get to this point. It's on the opposite. It's to acknowledge what they've done and help them do even more right now.
So what exactly is the profile of an ambassador? What are the types of things they might be doing to sort of fulfill this role as an ambassador or a community hero?
Yeah, so there are many different activities they can do. It's like you go to a restaurant, you have a menu, you can choose from a variety of different things, right? So it's about, right, contributing with content. You can write blog posts, you can drive some interactions on social media about things we've been doing or things we will do. It's about organizing events, meetups, local user groups, attending events to talk about Nextflow, right? Giving trainings, workshops, spreading the word about Nextflow in your community, in your university, and so on. So it's about really spreading the word and giving a good image of the community, like really sending the right message to people so that if they are interested in what we are doing, they will come and they will feel welcome and with good content. So writing documentation also and training materials and tutorials and recording videos and all these things.
I think it's nice to do it when we're getting more and more global spread as well. So it's nice to have sort of leaders in specific regions who can drive local events and, you know, who gets well known in their local. I mean, again, it's already happening. We're seeing people doing their own training, their own events already, but to encourage it and have a platform for it.
Yeah. And sometimes people are going to need help, right? So, okay, I know Nextflow for a while. I've been talking about it, giving talks and stuff. But, you know, do you guys have some slide decks to help me? It's great. We have some slide decks. We can help you stay up to date with all the news and features of Nextflow. If you need some funding, you can apply for tribal funding, and we're going to consider that on a one-per-one basis. If you want some support for like pizza to organize a hackathon or something, we can consider that. So everything we can talk and see if we have the funding available to help you go to the event or organize an event in your city, like pay some pizza for people and stuff like this. So we are really interested in providing the resources that people can use to really do a nice ambassador work.
That sounds really good. I know we've talked about this sort of behind the scenes a little bit already, but could you tell us a little bit more about the swag that might be sort of coming along with this program? Because everyone loves swag. I love swag. How will the swag sort of work as a part of this program?
Yeah, so that's the thing. With Ambassador, they will definitely get exclusive swag. But not only that, we're going to have a page of the Ambassador program on the Nextwell website, where you're going to have the list of ambassadors that we have. We're going to help also, just like apart from answering your question, something I think is interesting. So they're not only going to get swag and exclusive swag and swag to give to people for in events they attend and so on, but also we're going to help increase your reach by sharing content that you do and so on. So being an ambassador does come with lots of benefits also. So I don't want to get in details about the swag because they're exclusive and very nice, but you can be sure that...
Don't give away the surprise yet.
But be assured that the ambassador, they will get exclusive swag. And we are thinking about, you know, with ears and so on. So I was a Fedora ambassador at some point, so we got the 10-year shirt. So, you know, in the second year, if you remain as ambassadors, you will not get the same swag again. There are new things we are thinking of. So it's going to be very, very fun. And because I know the community, at least the NX1 and NFCore community, love swag, everyone's going to be crazy about being an ambassador because the swag is going to be amazing and exclusive.
Yeah, I think you've convinced me. So now that you have convinced me, how can I apply? What does that process look like? You've said already that we're hoping to sort of get, you know, potentially your first group or some people interested before the summit. What does that look like? How do I apply?
Yeah, so in the next little website, there's going to be a page for that describing the program, right, with all the details about what we expect from you, what you're going to gain from that, how we see the program and how you see you aligned to that or no. And at the bottom of it, there's going to be a button for application, so you can apply there. You're going to be directed to a form. You reply with a few questions. We're going to consider that and get in touch with you.
I guess maybe worth adding, the stuff that we want to see is people who are already super active in the community. There's a lot. I mean, the community, we're about to hit 7,000 people on the NF Core Slack. The community is big, and there's, you know, certain people we know already doing tons of stuff. So anyone who falls under that criteria would already be super welcome. But also, if you don't fall into that category and you haven't been around Nextflow and NF Core world so far, but you know you're already, I don't know, heavily involved in your local Python or R user group, or you've got your bioinformatics group that's, you know, your local city or whatever, then, you know, that kind of stuff is really important as well. And if you don't have any of that, you've just finished your undergrad, but you're just like super enthusiastic and you've got loads of big plans, then, you know, come and talk to us.
Cool, that's really exciting. So I guess the bottom line is watch this space. Keep an eye out for more sort of advertisements and notifications about this kicking off very soon.
We've got to do it now because we've said it in public.
You can't back out.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess finally today as well, we had training, which again, Marcel, you're just everywhere today. But Marcel was sort of... I don't know if saved is quite the right word, but we have some training that's been on the Nextflow training website for a while. So it's sort of been sitting there underneath the basic more foundational training that we quite often get as a part of the community training. And we quite often say, look, it's there, but don't do it because it's horribly out of date.
Yeah.
But Marcel, out of nowhere, went away and sort of saved this training and he's updated it all. So again, Marcel, I'm going to pass this back to you and maybe you could tell us about what this training is, why it's different, and what are some of the important features of this training material.
So the training.nextworld.io is a community training platform that we built. Like Phil put a huge amount of work when he was in vacation even to make it work and everything. It was so great. And like the three of us, among other things, put a huge amount of work to make the training, the foundational training, nice and up to date and working and clear and everything. It was like the last 12 months, a huge amount of work. But then when you go to this amazing training platform with this amazing training, you know, you have basically this one. The one in the button is there, but there's a warning saying, you know, this is extremely outdated. We don't teach this training often, so you know, don't do that. This was a bit sad, in my opinion. And more, I think, just in the past. Sorry, you want to say something?
I was going to say, I mean, Like, yeah, I built a new training website, but really the credit for all the material, a lot of it was written before the three of us were at Sekira. Yeah. It came from a Sekira training. So it used to be training.sekira.io. It was written by like Evan and Paolo and Chris Wyatt and other people and Abhinav. So the hands-on tutorial was written, and the reason it was there is just like in the repository, basically, like when we took it over. And I've been saying for ages, guys, this is still DSL1. Like, we just need to delete it. Like, it's causing trouble. We'll just get rid of it. So I think rescued Chris was probably the right term, because I had my finger on the delete button.
Yeah, if you go to the repository next.io/training, you're going to see it's a very old repository, training one. Lots of people did lots of contributions. But what I meant to say, I didn't mean to say that we did it alone. It's just that our focus was entirely on the foundational training and the platform. And this other one that was already there, we just added to the platform because then we have two. But, you know, we didn't put much work. Of course, if you have an old version of Nextflow with DSL1, it works. It would be there. But most people don't do that. They just go with the newest version and they run DSL2 is the default and it breaks. So it was there. It made me sad, but c'est la vie, right? More recently, people were complaining. I think three people in the past 1 month, they sent messages or open GitHub issues saying, you know, I'm trying to do this training. It's complaining about DSL1. And I think this was pushing us to say, okay, let's delete that so that we won't have this trouble anymore. But then this day, I woke up in the morning. I heard this voice from my laptop saying, help me, help me. And anyways, I went to have a look at it and I saw that actually there's not a lot of potential in this training material, because even though I love the first one, it's lengthy, right? Lots of theory, lots of explanation. If you are a beginner in Nextflow, of course, you're going to go to this one. But you know, lots of people, they learn Nextflow, like learn a bit, then next month a bit. And then at some point they get some knowledge of Nextflow. They know some Nextflow, but you know, they are not beginner enough to go over the whole content of the training material, and they are not experts enough to do things by themselves. They need something in the middle, right? Some short hands-on training that teaches you, but teaches you not the basic things. It's not teaching you what the channel is because you already know that. So I saw lots of potential in the training material. The thing is, it wasn't working, right? It was DSL1 and everything else. So I sat one night on my computer, okay, I'm going to fix that. So I updated everything to DSL2 to make it work, and it was working. And once it was working, then I was improving it to be more aligned with the DSL2 code. So right now it's working and everyone can go there and do the training. It's very quick, much quicker than the foundational one. It has some nice exercises, but again, they're not asking you to do basic stuff. It's more about checking if you understand the flow of things, what goes in, what goes out, and so on. And it's a variant calling pipeline. So by the end, you're going to have a variant calling pipeline. The software is a bit outdated that is used, but I mean, the goal is not to teach you how to use the software, but next one, right? This is one thing. And we are still working on improving other things. So for now, for example, you have one container image for everything, which works, but it's not what we advise. So I'm working on to make now every process have their light container image. I'm working on that right now, but it's working. If you want to learn Nextflow and you already know the basics, it's a nice place to go. So I think rescued was the right word. It was about to be killed and I rescued.
I think this will be particularly good for people who... Quite often I've heard from people who like did the basic training last year and they haven't used Nextflow that much after it. And they've sort of like remember it, but kind of forgotten. Like, but I don't want to spend three afternoons doing three lots of 2.5 hour training. How long is this one, do you think, Marcel? This is like one afternoon or?
Yeah, definitely. Ish. Something like this, 2 hours, 1.5. It's very short. I mean, the section where you really learn Nextflow, it's one section against like, I don't know, 20 something and the other one.
Yeah. So it's not going to teach you so much new stuff, but as a refresher, just to remind you how to get up and running, and it's going to be great.
Definitely.
So this is just a written material though, currently, is that right? Tell us about what plans do we have?
So as you probably know, and if you don't, you go right now to the NFCore website, nf-co.re. You go to the events and you're going to see we have lots of training scheduled soon, right? We have the summit, we have the summit in Boston and summit in Barcelona. We have the hackathon in both places. And we're going to have in September, at the very beginning, the foundational training, which is this basic training that we've given a few times already, but of course, always updated and better and clear and so on. And at the end of the month, we're going to have the advanced training, which is advanced. So it not may be so friendly for people who have never used Nextflow, but you know, if you do the foundational one, maybe you feel comfortable to do the advanced one. And in the middle of these two, we're going to have this hands-on training.
You guys, we had an earlier episode on the podcast about training, and you guys talked to Rob Syme about that advanced training, right? So if anyone's listening who thinks that sounds interesting, go and check out the list of previous podcasts and give that one a listen.
So it's a September 4th trainings, free online recorded trainings.
I'm curious to see what numbers we can hit this year. The numbers just climb and climb and climb, and I keep waiting for them to plateau. So we'll see if can you guys remember how many we had on the March training?
It was huge. 1,000, right?
Yeah.
I think we had people. Over 1,000 register, and then some of the videos have been viewed 2,000 or 3,000 times since then. So it's you know.
No pressure, guys. it's good stuff. People hungry for it. That's what we like. Right. What have you got next for us, Chris?
Right. So I think probably our sort of final sort of agenda point for today is just the upcoming Nextflow summits. So previously we did announce the keynote speakers. So we've got Eric Garrison in Barcelona. He's an assistant professor at the University of Tennessee Health Science Center. He's probably most well known for some of his research on pangenomes. And in Boston, we have Adam Phillippe, who's a senior investigator and head of the genomic informatics section of the US National Human Genome Research Institute, which is a bit of a mouthful.
I was going to say, well done for getting through that.
Yeah, I got through that. I had to read it though. And he's really involved in the telomere to telomere sort of sequencing projects. And I saw just recently that there's a paper about the complete sequence of the human Y chromosome, which is quite exciting. But I haven't read that yet. It only came out a couple of days ago. So those are our two keynote speakers for Barcelona and Boston. Hopefully people will be aware of who these speakers are or some of their research. I'm really excited about both of them personally. I'm sure probably you guys are as well.
Yeah, we're quite lucky because we get to go and actually watch both of these keynote speakers. we've done well there, but we're going to pop the talks online soon.
Yeah. So if you can't make it, you will be able to sort of catch up on them later. As well as that, just recently we have released the first group of our confirmed speakers. So a couple of weeks ago, we closed the call for abstracts. We went through all of the abstracts, which is really hard, actually. We had to sort of decline quite a few abstracts in the end just because we don't have the space for people to present, which is quite disappointing, but also really cool that there's so much interest in both of these events so early. So thank you to everyone that did submit an abstract. And for those that missed out, sorry that we couldn't sort of accommodate everyone. Anyway, as I was saying, we've just released our first group of speakers. So at the moment, this is just the profiles of the speakers, but at the bottom of the profiles, be able to see what their talk topics are at these events. And just from reading all the abstracts, I'm really excited. I think there's a really good sort of breadth of community and ecosystem and tooling talks from sort of all aspects of the sort of wider Nextflow sort of community, which I think is really fantastic and really exciting. So if you haven't already, I do encourage you to go along and have a look at those.
So you've contacted everyone who you're, so if you put in an abstract and you haven't heard anything, let us know, because you should have done.
Yes. Yeah, something's gone wrong if you haven't heard from me. Should have received an email by now.
That'd be good to get the final program up, actually.
That'll be coming soon. I don't think we've got an exact date for that. We're still just waiting for the final people to confirm so that we can put everything in place. But I think the program will shape up really nicely for both events. So it's 3 days in Barcelona and sort of 1.5 days in Boston at the end of a hackathon. Don't forget that there are hackathons prior to both of these events.
Yeah, and someone on the topic of hackathons, somebody asked me, it was yesterday or the day before, whether we had the hackathon groups worked out, and that's being actively discussed now as well. Certainly the Barcelona hackathon will be the biggest NFCore hackathon we've ever done, it's a bit like the training, the numbers just grow every year. last year we booked a room with a capacity of 50 people and we were like, ah, that'll be fine. We've never had a hackathon with more than like 30 in-person people, and we sold out really quickly. So this year we've got a room with capacity for 100 people. We'll see if the registrations get that high. We've already gone past 50. I can't remember how many we're at the moment. So we're thinking a little bit about trying to put in a bit more structure to the hackathon this year and having more groups to keep the numbers a bit more manageable and maybe slightly more focus. So stay tuned. Again, we'll put something out on Twitter, or sorry, not Twitter, X, or whatever, when we've decided something on the groups. Exciting times. Right. No new blog posts or any upcoming events before the training and the summit now, right? I think we're on this.
Nothing.
Yeah. Probably next blog post is on you, Marcel. We're debugging.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have to shout about that when that comes out. I'm looking forward to it. Great stuff. Thanks very much, Marcel, Chris. Thanks everyone who's tuned in to listen. I hope it's been a fun episode. It's been a bit terrifying for us doing live demos with no preparation. we'll see how heavy my editing is at the end. Hopefully everyone listening will have no idea just quite how chaotic that was. for me, thanks very much, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks everyone.
Thanks everyone. Bye.